MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to First Strike right here on VSiN. I'm your host, Dave Ross. For the next hour, we're going to break down everything going on gambling associated, of course, with UFC Fight Night. It should be a pretty good main event. Amanda Lemos is going to take on Jessica Andrade in a battle of Brazil at 115 pounds. Going to have Lou Finocchiaro, Jordan Sherwood, and Reed Kuhn join us throughout the next hour to break this down and see if we can find some potential winners and good spots for you to get in on this betting card here. But the man who sets the numbers and does an amazing job of it each and every week right here at Circus Sportsbook is Nick Kalikas, and is kind enough to join us now once again in studio. Nick, great to have you back on. You know, I always marvel when I look at how you try to set these numbers. And when you have somebody like Jessica Andrade, who's a former champion in this weight class at 115, coming back down from 25, well, she had a lot of success at 125 pounds, now taking on her countrywoman here in Amanda Lemos. I've seen this number go up, it feels like, as we're getting closer and closer to fight night tomorrow night, almost over $2. What did you initially set the number at, and where does the money come in for you?
Our line was around minus 150, minus 160. The line originally opened, I think, market-wide around minus 200. The action came in on Lemos early on, and now we're seeing the line, like you said, float up. We did receive some decent action, max limit bets, and then some sharp action as well on Andrade. That's why we're where we're at. We're around 200-ish, and the market is climbing over 200. There's 220s out there, I believe, right now at the moment as well.
It's fascinating, too, because I think a lot of people just assume Andrade is the champ, the former champ, the veteran. She's 4 years younger than the countrywoman here in Amanda Lemos coming in here. Now, of course, you're going to have some range issues here, about 3 inches in height, at least in reach differential here as well. So there are some advantages in 3 inches for the height, 3 inches for the reach for Lemos. Do you think you're going to see more action come in on the underdog here? Or, like you said, you've kind of been seeing that two-way early on in Lemos and now coming in on Andrade.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a couple sharp bombs come in late, honestly, right before post on the dog here, because the line keeps on floating up. And I think she's going to be the public side. So it's not only going to be the sharp side with the Andrade, but there's going to be a lot of public bettors that want to better as well, because they're not going to be familiar with the Lemos side of things, right? So they're saying, oh man, the quality, like you said, Andrade, so far throughout her UFC career, she's performed at such a high level, former champion, competed at multiple weight class, has wins in multiple weight classes as well, now coming back down to 115. So she's kind of more of a household name than Lemos is, right? So the public will be on that side. The parlays will be coming in on her as well. There's going to be some sharp action, though, coming back and taking Lemos right before post. I guarantee it.
Again, I'm very glad, because I like to think that Las Vegas is not just the fight capital of the world. I think it might be the sports capital of the world here in short order. So, but could you imagine if this fight was in Brazil? Because again, I go back to Andrade with the slam heard around the MMA world when she took the title for Rose Namajunas. So that's going to be interesting. I guess it'll be a little bit muted in Las Vegas versus Brazil. I just wonder if that would change people's perception of that fight. I've been looking at the total here. 3.5 is what I've seen pretty much market-wide on this fight. Are you seeing money come in on the over? And again, five-round non-title fight here, but it still is a main event.
It is. It's coming more in on the over than the under right now, which I kind of don't agree with, because I think, I mean, five rounds again, in a title fight, in a situation like this, and a lot of times the ladies are so durable and they bring it, they can definitely withstand and go five rounds, no problem. So in a typical situation, I'd say, oh man, take the over. There's no shot that it's going under. But you got so much finishing ability here, and there's so many question marks surrounding the Limo side of things. Like, we know Andrade can go five rounds. We know she's her cardio conditioning is going to be on point, right? We have seen Lemos fade as the fight progresses a little bit, right? So she's a different fighter in round three than she is in round two and round one. And this is a five-round fight. So there's the question marks on the Limo side. That's why I think it's intriguing for me to like the under, and the fight does not go the distance a little bit more. Because once it gets into round four, round five, I mean, if there's somebody hasn't been finished already, because I think there's an early shot of finish here as well, then something's going
to
give late.
I'm right there with you, Nick. I see it the same way. And again, I do think that for people new to the space, they might say, well, 115 pounders, there's not going to be a lot of power. Oh, Jessica Andrade can hit you with that two-piece like she did Karolina Kovalevich back in the day and end this thing very quickly. And again, the slam, like we mentioned, with Rose Namajunas in this weight class. So she has finishing potential at 115 pounds. I'm intrigued when I see that you can get Lemos plus almost 260, I believe, win by decision, win by finish, or Andrade plus money, win by finish. That's only a plus $1.30. If you are in that same camp that I am, that we think this fight might get stopped here, do you expect to see money coming in these ways, depending on which fighter you might like?
Yes, there's no doubt about it. I mean, the props are already getting hit on some of those sides already, and there's going to be more loaded up on that. But again, the people are going to try to scoop up the, you know, perceived value on the over, or maybe the fight going to decision once the other lines get bet into. Because again, our hold percentage is pretty good at Circa. We hold about 15% on average. A lot of the market is like 20, 25, 30% out there. So we do adjust the numbers. So if somebody comes in and hits inside the distance, or for example, KO or whatnot, we're going to adjust the submission. We're going to adjust the decision. So the other numbers start to have a little bit more value, where a lot of places kind of just leave their numbers stale. They'll move the one price and then the hold kind of climbs a little bit. So with the adjustments being made, then there's other opportunities that open up and bettors will bet it.
I love it. And again, that's how you got to, once you see where some of these big wagers come in, Nick's going to adjust those numbers. So if you like those numbers, you might want to get them now because they are going to change before we get to fight night. Let's stay with the ladies here very quickly, because Macy Barber, of course, the future, great nickname. I don't know if the future is now, but taking on Montana De La Rosa here. De La Rosa getting some plus money on the comeback, as Barber is a pretty solid favorite at minus $1.80. She had some hiccups here, but you got to love her toughness here. And still relatively, when you talk about 23 against 27, De La Rosa is not exactly over the hill by any stretch. What do you make of this matchup? Are you seeing the money come in on Barber?
We're seeing the money come in on De La Rosa. Early on, it was a little bit Barber money, but more so on De La Rosa. I think the hype and the mystique around Barber is kind of fading a little bit, man. She was on her way to possibly becoming the youngest UFC champ ever. The hype was there, but now it's been derailed a little bit. I think people are disappointed with some of her performances in the octagon. But I think that's a good bounce back spot for her. A lot of people are kind of countering her out in this certain situation, this matchup. De La Rosa, obviously, the path to victory for her is on the ground, right?
Yes, it's got to be wrestling, obviously, for De La Rosa. You know, Macy probably wants to keep this thing standing if she can and try to get that knockout. And again, when you look at the over-under, juiced heavily to the over here at over 250, the under right now, plus money at a plus $1.90. Barbara is going to try to get her out of there. De La Rosa might be the one that, you know, winning by decision, you could see that's plausible, plus 550 if you like the underdog here. But if you do like the Macy and maybe shorten that money, KO, TKO, DQ, plus 330, that might not be a bad spot to get in.
It's not. I think it's possibly live, man. Because, look, De La Rosa, again, she's going to, we said, implement that takedown plan. The game plan is to get her to the floor. You're right. I think if she wins, it's probably on the scorecards by decision. I mean, the sub possibilities there as well, but I think Barbara can neutralize that. But Barbara on the feet hits hard.
Yes.
Extremely hard. And the one flaw on the other side of things is that a lot of time we'll end up seeing De La Rosa get marked up a lot. She's very hittable in fights, right? She gets busted up. Well, if she's getting busted up in previous fights, she's really going to get busted up in this fight if it stays on the feet. So that's why I think Barber has a shot to finish. So if you're looking at plus 330, yeah, it's definitely worth a look at that prop for sure.
I talk with Nick Kalikas again. Follow him on Twitter as I do at Fight Odds. A man sets these odds right here in Combat Sports behind me at Circus Sportsbooks. So let's get to the co-main event here. The Carpenter's back in there. The ageless one that is Clay Guida. He's going to have hair everywhere, and he's going to be coming at all angles. This is what he does against Claudio Puelas here. Now, this is, look at the age difference here. We're talking about a 14-year age variance. You would think that plays to the underdog here in this case, which would be Puelas, which is a bit of a surprise to me. Clay Guida here at $1.15. Do you worry that the youngster might get blitzed with the volume that you know Guida's going to put on him?
That's the thing. The people that are betting the Guida side, and we have had two-way sharp action in this fight. So there's conflicting opinions for sure that are coming in. We got hit with the Puelas side early on with sharp action. Now we're getting hit with sharp action back on the Guida side. The people that are betting Guida are betting him because of that pace, that pressure, the wrestling aspect of things, and they're thinking he's not going to get submitted and he can survive that. So that's why they're betting Guida. He probably wins on the scorecards if it goes that route. That's what most people are thinking. But Quellis is going to make it a lot closer than everybody thinks. I mean, he's got that finishing ability that continues to improve a little bit. Guida has been caught in some subs throughout his career off and on as well. So if he makes that mistake, Quellis is very capable of finishing this fight.
Yeah, there it is. And I'm with you. If you like the Guida side, plus 425. Because, that's by finish, you would think decision plus $1.50. Mm-hmm. That would make more logical sense. You're not getting a huge variance there, minus $1.15 just to win. But by decision for Guida would be plus 150. It would be tougher for Puez, I believe, to get a decision victory just because the work output that Guida tends to do. But KO, TKO, DQ, plus $7, that might not be a bad option there.
No, it's not. And again, Puelles, I was touching on his submission ability, but I think he can land a flush knee. His power on the feet's getting a little bit better. Guida is hittable. And again, at 40 years old, even though we've seen the durability kind of withstand with Guida overall, he's still at that point where eventually that chin is going to get worse. You know, father time,
yes.
It catches up to all of us, right?
Yeah.
So I think despite Puelles not being known for that heavy hitting knockout artist, I mean, in this spot here, he's going to have his opportunity. So plus 700 might not be a bad look.
I actually think that could be in play there. But again, it's just win by finish. If you think that's the way Puelles has to get it done, plus 250 is not a bad option either. If you don't know if it's going to be KO, TKO, DQ, or sub, then maybe you want to take that plus money at plus 250 if you like Puelles on that side. We got an opponent for Alexander Romanov, and it is Chase Sherman. Obviously, you can understand why Chase is going to be a relatively big dog here in this spot. You got to lay 1,500 here if you want to go with Romanov. Chase Sherman, the comeback is 850. Look, you got to like the idea that Chase says, I'll step in, but sometimes it feels like the lamb's going to slaughter.
Absolutely. I think he's kind of stepping in here to almost save his roster spot because he'll probably get another opportunity because he is stepping in on short notice, right? And he's on that kind of cut line as far as the heavyweight division
goes. You're doing us a favor for the organization.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, but you're seeing the line like it is here. We're not going to get a lot of action on this fight. If anything, we're going to get some dog bets because Sherman's not a bad heavyweight for sure, but stylistically, all it's going to probably take is one takedown here.
Well, yeah, when you're going 15-0 here with Romanov, you can understand why this is going to be a really tough spot for Chase Sherman, and I'm sure Romanov will be on a ton of parlays, is what you would expect to see, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, before the fight was canceled, and again, Sherman is stepping out, like you just said, in short notice. We were getting a ton of parlays on him as well before that. So now, 1,500 is a little bit harder to parlay him, but people are going to blindly put him in there.
Got about 50 seconds to go, Nick. I got to get your thoughts because I always like to pick your brain. Is there any fight anywhere else on this card that you think you've seen some value in so far?
Man, I'll tell you what. It's the Barry Ault and Wright fight. I mean, that fight is going to be fireworks for sure. It got put together a little bit, matched again with short notice replacement, so to speak. Barry Ault coming in here, he is getting the action right now. That's crazy, though, because we're seeing so much handle coming into this fight, right? The Barry Ault side's getting bet up, then we're seeing some action back on Wright, too. And again, that fight's going to be fireworks because I don't think it's going to go very long at all. Somebody's getting knocked out. I mean, we've seen Wright, he comes out so aggressive, there's going to be a finish.
No Great doubt. Stuff, as always, from Nick Licks. Also, check him out, UFC On The Line on ESPN. We are back with Lou Finocchiaro next on First Strike on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
DraftKings Sportsbook is giving you plenty of ways to bet on the UFC. Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. You're going to be able to bet on more ways than just the main event. DraftKings has great odds on fight lines, total rounds, and futures for MMA events, so eligibility restrictions do apply, but see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full terms and conditions. Back here on First Strike, I'm your host, Dave Ross. It is always a pleasure to be joined by the one and only Lou Finicaro. Follow him on Twitter as I do, at GamLou. And Lou, this is an interesting fight card, and I think we find as the week goes on, we have some replacement fighters that had to hop in on short notice. But there are some intriguing bouts that I wanted for you to bring to the viewers and listeners' attention here. And let's start off with Lando Venetta against Charles Jourdain, because Jourdain right now a small favorite in this one at about minus $1.15, $1.05 here on Venetta. What do you make of this matchup, and do you think it could be sneaky fight of the night potential?
Well, Dave, first of all, thank you for having me. This is it can be a tricky fight card, but the closer we get to it, the more I believe I'm seeing, and the more angles I like. I do like an angle in this fight, and the one that I see physically, these men are about the same. They fight similarly. They're aggressive strikers. Venata, maybe more flamboyant and wide with his strikes and his kicks. Jourdain, maybe a little more pressuring and direct and straight with his shots. The big difference is about 10 years in age. And in a fight between two cardio machines that are going to kind of be striking one another for 15 minutes, this fight is lined heavily to the over 2.5. I think that there's really a decent amount to be said for Jourdain, who opened minus 150. They've bet Venata a little bit. I don't understand why, but he is a solid fighter. He was late to step on the scale, looked a little drawn to me today. I will side with the younger fighter here, either straight up minus 110, minus 115, or via decision if you want to get a plus price.
Yeah, 4 years age difference here, 30 and 26. In this matchup here. So you see some of those prices there that you want to get on the prop side as well. Because again, this could be a very interesting fight. And again, if you think it might go under, to your point here, Lou, a plus $1.50 on that under 2.5 rounds, it's juiced heavily to the over right now at $1.85. I always love the way that you glean what you can see here, certainly from these weigh-ins. And Jessica Andrade here in the main event, cutting back down to 115. Look, she had a lot of success at 125, but of course the former champion here at 115, taking on her countrywoman in Amanda Lemos here, Battle of Brazil. What did you see in the weight cut? She's never really had a problem traditionally making 115. Is it still the same for Andrade that she's as professional as ever and that really shouldn't be a decision to be too concerned about?
Not when she's the first to step on the scale as she was today. Message sent. I read it loud and clear. This is going to be a great fight.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. So again, makes that weight easily. She's now priced at over $2 here. Lou, I know normally you don't like to lay a big price tag here with a favorite in the main event like this. Is there another angle to this fight that you might like with Andrade against Lemos?
Right. Earlier in the week, on Wednesday at Point Spread Weekly, she was minus 170, and I used her in a gimmicky open-ended parlay. That price is gone, so it's no fair talking about it. If you're looking at that fight now, I'd still consider Andrade fodder parlay material for one side. More importantly, I like this fight to see some time. And so the fight to start round three, minus 170, that's a chalky price, but I like it. I also like the fight to start round five, plus 120 or 125. I think what we're going to see here is a fighter in Lemos that's big, strong, aggressive, and game. And I think we're going to see a very tough, determined ex-champion in Andrade, and nobody's going anywhere quick in this one.
Yeah, and I got to think, Lou, right, that if you're the challenger here, Amanda's going to want to try to get this fight down to the ground. You normally don't want to swing, and I know at 115 pounds, a lot of people that think there's not power there. Ask Carolina Kovacevic if there's power in Jessica Andrade's two-piece there. She can get you out of there quickly. So because of that, you think that this fight might see the ground? Because I can't imagine that Lemos is going to want to stand and dance inside that squared circle in that octagon.
Lemos, in fact, I believe, has to stand inside the square octagon. That's her angle. Listen, when Andrade has been beat, it was at 125, albeit it was against Shevchenko and Weili Zhang. What are they? Big, strong, physical, hunch you, walk you down, strike you, and bully the bully. And Andrade is a bully. And if she can bully Lemos, it may not go very long. I don't believe she's going to be able to. I believe Lemos' style is to walk her down, and these are going to be two rams meeting on the side of the mountain and banging in the middle. And I think this fight's going to be very highly competitive, but I really think it's going to last four or five rounds into decision.
Okay, so if it does go over 3.5, there's plus money right now, DraftKings plus $1.10 to go over 3.5 rounds. Let's get to the co-main event of the evening. You know, I always say it, age is just a number. Clay Guida is trying to live that moniker right now. Right now, about even money against Claudio Puelas here, minus $1.15. He's kind of taking a little bit of the money this week to go up from $1.10. What do you make of the Carpenter? He's 40 years young, but he goes out there, and Lou, it never seems like he slows down. Can he keep up that pace against the much younger Puelas?
Well, that's the big question here. I mean, you got Guida, who's the ever-ready bunny, and he has a wealth of experience. And his last two fights, wins against Billy Q and Leonardo Santos, are totally impressive. That said, he is 40, and he's going to be in against a kid that, since he moved 18 months ago to Sanford MMA, is getting the best training. He's been on all the talk shows this week. Mm-hmm. Puelas is loving that microphone in front of his face, and now it's put up or shut up time, and I'm going to believe that he puts up this fight. Puelas via decision plus 250 in a fight that's lined over 2.5 minus 200. I'm going to try Puelas via the decision here. I think he's too young, too tall, too long, and too able to keep Guida into a striking match in this fight.
Well, there it is, trying to find that big-time plus money there in Puelas, and you can get that by decision, because a lot of people don't think that Guida can get Puelas out of there. And you see Guida plus $1.50 to go to a decision. And again, for the fight just to go there, minus $1.75. You can understand why, certainly with Lou, with your handicap there. Let's get back to the ladies here. Macy Barber, she was once known as the future. I think the future is still possibly out there for her. We talked to Nick Likas earlier in the show. Said some money came in early on Montana De La Rosa. She's now plus $1.55 here. What do you make of Barber? Because she is just 23. I mean, the fast track here at 125 pounds, is this a fight that not only that she has to win, Lou, but she has to look impressive if she really wants to get back into a possible matchup with Valentina Shevchenko?
Well, those are the kinds of things that we like to talk about, but I don't know necessarily that the fighters think about. What she needs is a win, and she just wants to get back in the win track and really get her momentum going. She works at Alpha Male, and typical of those fighters, she's an unrelenting pressure fighter moving forward. She's meaner, and she is only 23, and I think she's still learning greatly. Montana, on the other hand, longer, taller, works at Team Elevation. She's going to be in dynamic, fit, and physical shape, no question about it. But I don't really think that the length and reach help her in the striking whatsoever. She's more a submission fighter. And I view Macy as too mean, too strong, and in too good a position here. Barber via decision plus 120 is the way I would lean with this one.
Yeah, there it is. And again, if you think Macy can get it done with the hands there in a KOTKODQ, that's plus 330. De La Rosa, to your point there, Lou, she's going to try to get this fight down to the ground and maybe try to look for that decision, or excuse me, look for a submission. That would be plus $8 if she can get it done as a big underdog for that to actually happen. I do want to get your thoughts. Certainly when you have Romanoff in here and we get a late second replacement here in Chase Sherman, you can understand why Chase is such a huge underdog here, plus $8.50. Any chance to pull the upset on the undefeated 31-year-old in Romanoff here at 15-0?
Well, you have to say there's some kind of a lightning strikes in a bottle chance. But realistically, here's Romanov that weighed 260 in his last weigh-in, and he's fighting a guy of less capability than he fought last time he fought. And now he weighs in at 240, and he looked just ripped and cut. He's a scary man. To me, he took a page out of Tom Aspinall, and just like Tiger Woods changed golf, Tom Aspinall might be changing the heavyweight division just a little bit.
It's absolutely fascinating. Great comparison there, because again, we've got some young blood in the heavyweight division. You mentioned Aspinall here, Romanoff, going to be on display here in the main card as well. Very quickly here, got about 40 seconds, Lou. The About Business podcast. Tell the people what they get when they listen each and every week.
Each week there's a UFC card. There's a 16-minute podcast that tracks results and keeps a running total. Thus far this year, we're 33-41, showing about a 5 or 6% return on investment. It's a year-long pursuit. It's a grind, but we love doing it. It's all about business, and thanks so much for mentioning it, Dave.
Absolutely. Lou Finocchiaro, everybody. Follow him on Twitter, @GamLou. Great UFC and MMA information each and every week. When we come back, going to go to Chicago and check in with Jordan Sherwood, get his thoughts on this fight night preview. Come on back. It's First Strike right here in VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Want more betting insights to give you an edge? Well, check out VSiN's Best Bets podcast. You can listen to daily sports betting highlights from the entire 24/7 stream of VSiN experts tracking line moves and odds and props, wins and losses and bad beats from sportsbooks in Vegas and all across the country. Download the VSiN Best Bets podcast now at VSiN.com/podcast or wherever you get your podcast. Dave Ross back here on First Strike. Always a pleasure to be joined by Jordan Sherwood out of Chicago, ESPN Chicago, and check him out and follow him on Twitter as I do at WoodOn1063. Jordan, let's get to the podcast very quickly. I know it still doesn't have a name, but without a name, the pod's still doing pretty darn good in Chicago and beyond, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. It's growing in popularity, especially when we give out picks like Bilal Muhammad. Last week on the show, you know, Chi-Town guy, got it back to hometown, but he performed brilliantly, and it's coming along, obviously, as you know, all these audio capabilities. So happy to have it growing and happy to be here to talk with you about some UFC fights tomorrow night.
Absolutely, Jordan. You know, Bilal's nickname is Remember the Name, and you don't even have to remember the name of yours because it's the Unnamed Podcast. That's why I love it. Let's get to this card, and it should be, as you really start to look into it, certainly there's some valuable possible handicaps that we've seen in it. I did want to go right to the top of the mountain here in the main event, and that is Jessica Andrade coming back down to 115 pounds, where she was the former champion there when she beat Rose Namajunas. Now taking on her countrywoman and Amanda Lemos here. It feels like right now the money has been coming in on Andrade as the week has gone. Talked to Nick Likas earlier in the show. He said early on it came in on Amanda, but then it's really boomeranged here going back to the former champ. What do you make of this matchup, and what's your best angle for this fight?
Yeah, and I'm not shocked by the money coming back in on Andrade, because I think she should be favored, and favored almost to the level that she currently is at that price at 210. I was a little bit, you know, hesitant to pull the trigger until I saw her on the scale earlier today. She looked fine, so the weight cut not an issue. And like in every fight, no matter what weight class she is, she's going to give up some size. She's going to give up some length. But I just don't see an area where Amanda Lemos is going to have the advantage if it's on the feet. And then, you know, obviously if the fight gets to the ground. And we saw in Lemos's last fight, cardio was an issue in a 3-round fight against Angela Hill. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people scored that fight for Angela Hill, and it was a split decision victory for Amanda Lemos. So I think Jessica Andrade is the play. I think just her skill set, her power is going to cause some issues for Amanda Lemos. The issue for Andrade, as always, is she's going to have to deal with the distance and figure out a way to get in the pocket and land, you know, those brutal body shots that we saw she can showcase. Maybe utilize a slam like she, as you just alluded to, with the knockout of Rose Namajunas. But yeah, I love Andrade in this fight. Maybe a lean just a little bit more on the over, just because I think, you know, outside of what I consider a flash kind of TKO loss for Amanda Lemos, she's a distance fighter, a point fighter. So Andrade is going to have to really land something to put her away, especially what we know in women's fights. Andrade is the play for me. I like her to win the fight.
Again, and if we do like the over there, you can get plus money, 3.5 rounds at plus $1.10. If you like Andrade by decision, that's over $2. You can get there plus $2.25. So maybe some different ways to handicap this thing if we think the former champion is going to be who we've known her to be throughout her career. I did want to get to Marc-Andre Barrio against Jordan Wright here. And you can understand that Marc-Andre here, almost a $2 betting favorite against Jordan Wright. But I think that you think that this fight might be a little bit decided sooner rather than later. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is. I mean, look at Jordan Wright. I mean, Jordan Wright either wins in the first round or loses in the first or second round. I mean, he's a guy that just is a kill or be killed. And Andre Barrio is going to give him the fight. I mean, granted, probably at the end of the day, Barrio is going to want to get this fight to the ground. But he's going to have to, you know, go through fire to get there. And I'm not sure about the quick turnaround for Barrio. He got just absolutely annihilated by Chidi and Chikolati, his last fight. I think the recovery, you know, you never know with a knockout like that if the recovery is too soon for him. Jordan Wright is going to give him the fight that he wants, stand in the middle of the cage. And I think Barrio's pressure is going to cause some issues for Jordan Wright. We saw that before. Jordan Wright either gets a little bit excited like he did against Bruno Silva and then he gets knocked out, or he just gets pressured like Joaquin Buckley did and gets knocked out. So I think this fight definitely doesn't go to the judges' scorecards. I don't think it makes it to the end of the second round. The under at 1.5 is my recommendation on this, and you're going to get plus money on it because I think we're going to see a knockout relatively early in this fight.
Yeah, again, good value there if it does go under a round and a half there. You know, also, conversely, you look at Dean Barry in the first fight here in the prelims against Mike Jackson. You know, Mike Jackson's an interesting guy. We all remember when he fought CM Punk in Chicago. I thought Dana White said he was never going to fight in the UFC again, but he is still here. And right now he's a rather huge underdog here. You can imagine his Barry is minus 1375, but you see a different angle, obviously, than laying a huge price tag like that. What is it?
Yeah, of course. Look, I mean, look, I like the story about Mike Jackson, but the dude is an MMA photographer and a journalist. He's not a fighter. He's not. So like going into the cage and he's going against a guy that's, you know, a relatively big time prospect that the UFC, you know, is big on. Yeah, sure, it's a big price to play on Barry. So why not go on the under and why not go for him via TKO? I mean, Jackson doesn't deserve to be fighting in the UFC. And no disrespect to him. And it bought him for doing what he did and taking the fight with CM Punk and taking the fight against Mickey Gall. But, like, he shouldn't be in the UFC. And Barry should. So Barry should smash him very early in this fight. And that's why I like him in the under and I like him inside the distance.
Yeah, and get Barry KO here minus $1.65.
I can't give you more analysis. The guy doesn't deserve to be in the UFC, but he's fighting in the UFC. So
I think the boss man agrees with you, and I believe this is the end of the contract. So it might be the last time that you can wager against Mike Jackson here and try to make some profit that way. I am curious when you look at the Carpenter and you mentioned Chicago guys and Clay Guida, we know how much of a worker he is. That's just what he does. It's his style. He's going to try to smother the young kid here in Claudio Puelas. And I said, kid, at 26 versus 40, my goodness, that's a huge age variance here. In almost a pick'em fight here, which way would you go?
Disadvantage for Clay Guida for performing as brilliantly as he did his last time out. It's the same fight. Pajas now is not going to succumb. He's not going to empty the gas tank like Santos did. So Clay Guida is going to have to fight smart. Yes, he'll rely on his cardio and his double legs and his wrestling. But I think Pajas is going to be prepared for that. He's got some Muay Thai that Gaethje is going to have to deal with. So probably going to wait on this fight until whatever fighter is plus money. I'm leaning Poirier, and I think he wins it on the judges' scorecards. Clay Guida is such a difficult fighter to finish.
Well, exactly. It's almost impossible to finish Clay Guida. And to that point, if you can get him out of there, you get a nice price and certainly a plus money. If you think Poirier can do that, it's almost $7 KO, TKO, DQ. Sub, if you think you can get it done that way, $350. But, you know, it's interesting because win by decision at plus 250 feels nice. And you see plus money also for Clay Guida. But it's hard to beat Guida on the cards, too, because of his activity, right? That sometimes Jordan, even though it doesn't look like he's doing a whole lot, he's doing something, and sometimes that resonates with the judges. Is that a bit of a concern here if you want to go Poirier by decision?
Yeah, I mean, look, he's going to be on the defensive the entire fight. I expect he'll be up against the cage and try to, you know, prevent the double legs. But, yeah, Poirier is going to have to keep this fight in the middle of the octagon, utilize his Muay Thai, utilize his athleticism, his reach, avoid that overhand right from Clay Guida. I mean, it's a fight that Clay Guida should win. And again, he just won it. We saw him as a plus $2 underdog win it the last time out. But I think that's an advantage again for Pajas. Seeing that game plan, understanding it, and, you know, figuring out ways to prevent it. So Pajas probably be a decision is going to be my play, and I'm going to play Pajas outright.
All right. It should be a very interesting stylistic fight, and certainly young versus the old. And sometimes when you have a guy like Clay Guida, he knows he's 40, and he knows that every time he's out there, sometimes people think, oh, it could be the last time we see Clay Guida. We'll find out if that's in fact the case. But again, about minus $1.15 right now here as we're seeing as we get closer and closer to fight night. Got about a minute and a half to go here, Jordan. I did want to get to what is, I think, could be a sneaky fight of the night possibility, Lando Venetta against Charles Jourdain here, minus 115 for Jourdain. But you think there's a bigger plus value here in this fight. What do you see?
Yeah. What gives it away that this could be fight of the night? I mean, these two guys are just animals out there. Also, kill or be killed, variety of striking. I think Lando Venata's issue is that Charles Jourdain has a lot of power in those variety of strikes. And Lando Venata, I think I read the stat, I'm sure you know it, like number three all time in absorbed strikes in the featherweight division. That's not something that you want to like boast on your resume, no. Especially against a guy, Charles Air Jourdain, who I think looked great in his last fight against Andre Yule. Lando Venata, you know, had a split decision win. I think Jourdain via TKO is worth a look, even though Lando Venata is not a guy you typically finish. But Charles Jourdain hits like a ton of bricks, keeps coming after you, and Lando Venata is not going to be able to utilize that strategy of, I'll take a punch to give out two, because that one punch likely puts his lights out.
Yeah, no question about it, and I'm right there with you. This does have fight of the night written all over it. Jordan, always appreciate the time and the information, my friend. And again, it's a great unnamed podcast that you have going on right now in Chicago. Got to check it out wherever you get your podcast. When we come back, Reed Kuhn is going to join us from Washington, D.C. and see what his model's like for this fight night. Come on back. It is First Strike on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody?
This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on First Strike on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I am Dave Ross. Always a pleasure to be joined by Reed Kuhn from Washington, D.C. Of course, follow him on Twitter as I do at Fightnomics. And Reed, I like to do this every so often here. We've been doing this show now, I believe, since last summer. But for those new to the viewing space here on First Strike on VSiN, I always talk about your models. For those that don't know exactly what your models are, can you tell the people how you get to where you get to with your picks each and every week on these UFC cards?
Yeah, it's similar to other sports. You know, you want to let history inform the future. You want to look at prior performance, see how that translates into matchups. So we're, of course, looking at performance metrics for both fighters in the matchup. We're also looking at traditional tail of the tape factors like age and reach and stance. But we're also factoring in some stylistic data. What are the styles? What are the specialties of each guy? One thing that's different about mixed martial arts than maybe baseball is that these guys come from wildly different backgrounds. You know, a collegiate wrestler versus someone who was purely a kickboxer, and then they transition into MMA. So all of these things come together, and we're trying to factor everything in, understand what's important, and then see who deserves the edge against the betting line.
Not only do I find it fascinating, it's also profitable. So this is why, again, you need to check him out. Fightnomics also is the author of a book of the same title. Reed, let's get into the models and what they see for this fight here, because obviously when you go to the main event, you do have a lot of data here for these two Brazilians in Lemos against Andrade here. We've seen the money come in on Andrade here, steamed over to $2 now, opened up around $1.70, but we've seen a lot of the money come in on the former champ at $115. We've talked about this before, Reed, but when you see fighters switching, going from $125 down to $115, does that factor in new data for you? Do you just use the $115 data, or do you also factor in what she did at $125?
It could be selective. I think in this case, it doesn't hurt to include all of it. Andrade spent the majority of her career at strawweight and then dabbled at flyweight, and now she's coming back down. So I'm just going to create that as a wash. I'm going to compare all metrics as they are. But to your point, I mean, when you look at this on paper, I was immediately struck and thought, whoa, the underdog is looking pretty good here. Mm-hmm. She has very sharp hands, 44% accuracy on power strikes, 49% of her jabs actually land. And she has a big range advantage. So she's someone who is very large for her weight class, at least in terms of range and frame. So she has looked pretty good in using her striking effectively. Now, Andrade is probably, she's well known for being an aggressive striker, but the difference is the level of competition here. And I think that's where it brought me back to reality. And I thought, okay, they look fairly even on paper, but Andrade has faced consistently difficult talent, you know, top talent, lots of title fights, and done well in those matchups. Whereas Lemos has kind of cruised through some competition. That tends to inflate your stats. So when you have people coming from opposite ends of the competitive spectrum, that's when you might see the performance metrics and think one thing, but you got to come back to reality. So I'm now leaning towards Andrade here after factoring it all in. I think she has better all-around MMA. If she has trouble on the feet, she can obviously go to the ground if she wants to. Lemos is unlikely to do that. And Andrade is just used to being in with the best. So I think she will take a few things, adjust accordingly, and still dish it out.
I know maybe your models don't have yet a definitive stance on the total rounds here, and we're seeing right now plus money plus $1.10 for over 3.5 rounds, juice to the under at $1.40. But when you look stylistically what the models have shown you, what style of fight do you think we might see? We know Andrade is, look, I've talked about it before, the two piece against Karolina Kovalevich to get her out of there, the slam heard round, the 115 pound division when she took the belt from Rose Namajunas in Brazil. What style of fight do the numbers show? Do we think it's going to be they stay standing, or do you think that eventually Lemos might even want to try to take this down to the ground?
Yeah, I don't know if Lemos is the one that wants to be on the ground, to be honest. Now, she has done well there. She just hasn't really taken it there very often. She only has seven takedown attempts throughout her entire UFC career. So I think it would be strange for her to initiate, whereas Jessica Andrade has 68 career takedowns, and she's attempting them at a much higher pace. So regardless of whether we look at, you know, takedown accuracy, it's kind of a wash. It's the attempt rate that counts here. That shows the intent of the fighter to want to change levels. Lemos is probably not going to be the one to do that.
All right. Fascinated to see how this stylistically, this fight might make its way on Saturday night. So keep an eye on that before you go into those total round props there, where you think this might actually go. Let's get to the co-main event, because I know you have tons of data when it comes to Clay Guida. That's not going to be a problem for your models against Claudio Puelles here. So you know what Guida wants to do. You know he wants to try to use those hands, use that mobility, and eventually try to get some double legs and take this fight down to the ground. What are the models showing here in this fight? Again, 40-year-old guy against a 26-year-old. What are the numbers showing you?
Yeah, and first, to confirm your point, yeah, tons of data. 372 minutes on Guida. That means he has spent over 6 hours actively fighting in the octagon. That's actual fight time. But, you know, he's on the wrong side of 40 now. Then again, the guy is genetically different. Let's just acknowledge that. There is something, there is some battery that exists in his body that other people don't have. He has the ability to just keep moving at a very high pace. That is something that should decline with age. For him, it doesn't seem to go anywhere. 14-year age gap here with Puelles. So you mentioned the wrestling of Guida. That has always been his base. That's where he came from. And then he added this, like, very busy, frenetic style of striking on top of that, where he really swings for the fences. And when he lands, he can put people down. But a lot of the times, he looks ineffective against a technical striker. But his wrestling is the threat. He attempts takedowns at twice the average rate. But then we look at Puelles. He's attempting takedowns at 3 times the normal rate of a wrestler. So this is an interesting grappling fight, because Puelles already has 2 knee bars in the UFC. He doesn't have a lot of fights, but he has been very effective. And so that could cause some caution with Guida. I wonder if he's going to choose to box with Puelles. Now, the numbers, the betting line, first of all, is extremely tight. My lean here is on Puelles. I think that's where the play is. You don't normally see me backing a guy who's 14 years older to begin with, so I think that probably affects our models. But the submission threat that Puelles has, which is greater than Guida's, could be something that nullifies Guida's ground attack, and that could force some more stand-up. And another interesting metric, Guida has been hit in the head more times than anybody on this card throughout his career. He's actually in the top 10 all time. So when you think about, is a fighter at their peak? I know he's talking about fighting beyond his current contract, staying in the game, and he probably would be competitive, but head damage is something you cannot undo, and accumulation does count. So I'm leaning Puelles here. I'm not sure how it shakes out, especially with the grappling, but it is an interesting matchup, and it's a very efficient line. So I'm going to go with Puelles.
Yeah, 14 years, the junior here, sometimes that can be to an advantage here. Again, Clay Guida, though, showing not a whole lot of signs of slowing down here. As we talk with Reed Kuhn, follow him on Twitter, at Fightnomics. I do want to get what I think could be the fight of the night here in Vanetta against Jourdain here. Jourdain, a small favorite here, about $1.15. Vanetta, $1.05 here. What do you make of this matchup here in the main card? Because it does feel like 3 rounds. I don't know if we're going to get all 3 in this one, Reed.
Yeah, I like that you called out this is a potential fight of the night. It really does look like that. You have 2 gifted strikers who are willing to engage. And, you know, in the last fight, we talked about all the high takedown rates of the 2 fighters. This is an instance where 2 guys are more reluctant than usual to attempt takedowns. Jourdain, almost none at all. I think he only has 1 takedown attempt. So you line these guys up and they're striking. Jourdain looks like the more dangerous striker. He has the higher knockdown rate. He has better accuracy, better defense. So those things do add up. Vanetta, another guy who has taken a lot of beatings in much less time than Guida has, he's accumulated, which means he's willing to stand and trade and have a shootout. I don't know if that ends well with Jourdain. Jourdain has been getting better and better. He was a very young fighter when he started in the UFC. Sometimes you got to give people some time to develop. Charles Jourdain could be pretty slick in that division, and this is a perfect fight for him to show off, because Vanetta is going to be a willing dance partner, and those are the ingredients that you normally see in a fight of the night, is those guys that just are willing to stand and trade and bang it out.
Got about 60 seconds to go here. I did want to sneak in Tyson Pedro, a huge favorite, over 6 hours against Ike Villanueva here. What do you make of this matchup, and do you think there's any danger here with a big favorite in Pedro?
I'm back in Pedro here. At least statistically speaking, the numbers are all on his side. He is more accurate, more powerful, rangier. He's even younger. So he has all the advantages should they stand and trade, which is likely. Villanueva doesn't have a lot of takedown attempts. But there's this huge layoff. So you don't know how stale that data is with Pedro. But at least on paper, he is definitely the justifiable favorite. And Villanueva has been knocked down a few times, and Pedro will test the chin, and he has the power. So maybe the better play is for an under or a knockout.
All right, let's see if Pedro can get that done and then shorten that price tag there of 630 that he has against Villanueva. Hey, Reed, always appreciate the time, the information, my friend. It is great. And again, follow him on Twitter at Fightnomics. I want to thank Jordan Sherwood, Lou Finocchiaro, and Nick Kalikas for joining us each and every week. It is First Strike. Enjoy the fights, and we'll see you next week right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.